97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Old Roy is here, back from Italy. Thanks for coming back a little early.
Yeah, I did just for you.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
If you hadn't have been here, yeah, it was a couple days early, you wouldn't have been on the show this week. So.
Yeah.
The Italy trip, is that an annual thing now?
Kind of seems like it. It's kind of a nice summer break.
It's funny for you because you're so Irish that you made I thought you were making pilgrimage to Ireland every year. Like, that was your goal.
Well,
but it's become Italy.
Well, the goal in retirement is it'll be trip to Ireland, detour to Sicily, and then back home, and then just keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're not going to go to France ever. You're just going to skip right over.
Not interested in France.
Okay. All right. Did you see that Stonehenge was vandalized? Not that that's Ireland, but that's in that area.
I did not know that.
Yeah, vandalized. They threw orange paint onto Stonehenge. I think they're going to be able to get it off and it'll be okay. But it was to protest oil.
Well, so, that makes sense.
So do you think that they've stopped oil?
I'm sure oil is probably just like, no, let's call it a day.
Yeah. Did you see the Jerry Seinfeld thing that was similar?
No.
So somebody at a Seinfeld show stood up to yell about Palestine at Seinfeld. And he was so good at it. He just starts going, you know what? I did not understand your point until now. And he's going, I think the best... You've figured this thing out. And he's doing the typical Seinfeld voice. And he's like, the way to do this is to travel 3,000 miles from the point of conflict and yell at a comedian from the audience. And I, all the solutions that I've been seeking are here. And now we've, together in this theater, solved it. Like, it was great. The protests, to me, are they've got to just be paid for by nut jobs and way up high liberals and Soros and whoever. You know, it's not just him. There's other groups that are doing this stuff.
Yeah. It's not groundswell.
No.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, I could see, like, when somebody runs up to Stonehenge or paints a big X across Mona Lisa or something, I could see them being just idiots. But I just don't get the sense that they're alone. It seems like they're part of this bigger thing that's just intended to get attention. And it works. Like, we're talking about it. So it does work. But it doesn't sway anybody's mind. It's more like chaos for the purpose of chaos.
Yeah. No, exactly. And I don't think the majority of them even have an objective. I think there are, you know, paid protesters. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They just, hey, this is a chance to be an anarchist. I'm going to go do it because that's fun. And they don't even know what it is they're protesting. It's just...
Yeah, it's just like, I'm 20.
Yeah.
So I got to change the world. And the only way I'm going to do it is through either starting a YouTube channel or... That takes a lot of work. I'm just going to go throw something at a famous piece of art.
Yeah.
Yep. Since we're talking about Europe, I didn't intend to go there, but I have this article that I did intend to bring up with you, maybe just in a different segment. Did you see in the last... It was really the last 2 weeks how the elections in Europe went?
That was all going on. A lot of that was going on while I was there, but
okay.
It was all in Italian, so I don't know what they were saying.
So, were there Italian elections, or was it? It was other parts of Europe.
Well, the G7 thing was there.
Okay, yes, but this is not. I'm actually referring to the elections that were taking place across Europe.
Yeah, I don't.
Because you're
know.
Right.
Yeah,
the G7 thing, and was it making Italian news that Biden had wandered off? I mean, I'm curious.
Well, they showed the video. I don't know. Again, I don't know
what
they're
saying,
but they showed the video of him. Looking at the parachuter while everybody else was facing the other way.
So they didn't shy away from it.
No.
Because if you were wanting to show, oh, everybody's in the same accord here, everybody's good, you wouldn't show that video.
No, I don't think they were doing it to highlight that. I think they were trying to highlight the lady who was, I guess, the Italian
Prime Minister. Yeah, I can't remember her name.
They were it looked like they were just trying to prop her up.
Because is she popular in Italy?
Well, it's hard to say. Sicily kind of thinks of themselves as their own country to a certain extent, but except when it comes to soccer, then they're all for the
Italian she's super team. Conservative.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was they just kept showing that footage of her shaking hands with everybody.
Oh, okay. So you don't know what they're saying. They're
no.
just showing the footage. So in the midst of all these elections, now here's what maybe you didn't know. Europe moved right in all of these elections. They call it a populist movement, which would be very similar to a Trump type thing,
mm-hmm.
where all these all these European countries voted for the conservative candidates. Now, they would all, our media is calling them all far right candidates.
Yeah.
But they're conservative candidates who are running on, you know, an immigration policy, because they're dealing with the same thing there, where immigration is just out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And people feel like they're losing their specific culture. And this was an interesting take that I heard several people talking about in Europe, because European Union has kind of blurred those lines. Mm-hmm. But everybody wants to keep, especially when you have your own language, you want to keep your culture.
Right.
And with mass immigration, that is hurting individual cultures' identities, and people are kind of fed up with it. Mm-hmm. They're not anti-immigrant. I think there's a big point to be made there. Most people, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but it seems like the vast majority of people aren't anti-immigration. They want to just have a distinct culture because that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why we can't talk about these things in these terms without somebody from the outside yelling racist. I mean, yes, they will. Somebody will yell racist at us here today,
right.
I'm sure. But the other reason that I brought that up is this article right here. While Europe is moving rightward, or conservative, I guess, I don't even know if you're moving rightward.
Hmm.
This article says South Africa could be the first ever country to provide a no-strings-attached universal basic income. Now, I'm no history buff, but I don't think this would be the first time that's ever happened. I think that's called communism, and we have seen it happen.
Well, to a certain extent. I mean, it goes a step further than communism. You'll own nothing and like it. So it's everybody's the same, but it's not. There's not this. Well, we're just going to give you free money. So we're going to take all of it, and then we'll distribute how we see fit. So I think the guaranteed income thing. California's talked about it for years. It's not a whole lot different than the debacle with minimum wage that's going on now that is going to end up, you know, bankrupting small business. So I mean, if you try to do that on a scale like that, where you're guaranteeing income, it doesn't make any sense. It never has. I don't know why it keeps popping up.
It's a new buzzword. It sounds nice. Universal basic income sounds like, well, shoot, like if I'm Joe Schmo and I haven't thought about this at all, and somebody goes, you get a basic income given to you for nothing, I'm immediately like, that sounds great. It may not be the full income I need, but it sounds so good. And it's very, very popular among people who don't understand how these things work at all.
Well, to a certain extent, I mean, we tried it here post-COVID with the extending unemployment benefits. And we've seen what's happened to the workforce by giving people a reason not to go to work. You're incentivizing them to not be productive because you can get paid more by doing less.
Mm-hmm.
And so the obvious outcome of that is a decimation of the workforce, and worse than that, I think culturally, just a lack of interest in productivity of any kind.
You know, it's one of the greatest gifts I think we've been given out of COVID is that bad policy has resulted in bad results fast.
Yeah.
Because bad policy typically takes a while, especially in a country as big and an economy as big as the United States. But that policy was so big and so bad that it's taught an entire generation what it looks like to have bad policy. That doesn't mean you've won everybody over, but you could easily point to that, just like you just did, mm-hmm. and say, I know, Gen Z, that sounds good to you, but consider what you just went through. And for their entire lives, they'll know that that's a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it'll take something else in 40 years to bring that back around again, you know, assuming we're still the same type of country we are now. But over under, as we finish this segment out here, Roy, over under on how fast you think South Africa will collapse.
They're already on their way. So,
they are. Yeah, you're right.
So I think it'll go quicker if they implement that.
I'm going to say 6 to 7 years. Mm. And it really depends on what collapse means.
Yeah.
But I say it takes a couple years to really implement this. It takes a couple years for it to see its way through to people stop working. And then you're going to see some really bad results.
I'd say 4 or 5.
4 or 5. Okay, you're going under. All right, we'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.